राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी Gopi Chanavala Ba Girigara Dadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Chana Balaba Girivada Dadi Gopi Chana Balaba Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Stathara Sata Shishima Chila Isi Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Dayam Vishipad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Stathara Sata Shishima Chila Bhakti Vedanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to some of devotees All glories to some of devotees All glories to some of devotees All glory is the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 19, entitled Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text 40 to 45. So I think we'll do the first one all together, then we can read through. Okay. Bhago mam ashvaro bhavo labho mad bhaktir uttama vidyatmani pidapada jugupsha shri akarmasu bhagama ashvira bhava labho madbhaktir uttama vidyatmani pidabhadho jugupsa vir akurmaso bhagama ashvara bhava Actual opulence is my own nature as the personality of Godhead, through which I exhibit the six unlimited opulences. The supreme gain in life is devotional service to me, and actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities, and beauty is to possess good qualities such as detachment. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness. And real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage. And a fool is one who identifies with his material body and mind. The real path in life is that which leads to me. And the wrong path is sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness, whereas hell is the predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe, and one's home is the human body. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich, and one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite, a slave. Thus, Uddhava, I have elucidated all of the matters about which you inquired. There is no need for more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good and evil. Purport by the disciple of Krishnamurti Shukadeva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally full of six opulences, namely unlimited beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength, and renunciation. Therefore, the greatest profit in life is to achieve personal loving service to the Lord, who is naturally the reservoir of all pleasure. Real education means to give up the false idea that anything is separate from the Lord, the source of all potencies. Similarly, one should not falsely consider the individual soul to be different or separate from the Supreme Soul. Mere bashfulness does not constitute modesty. One should spontaneously withdraw in disgust from sinful activities. Then one is actually modest or humble. One who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness and thus does not seek material pleasure or suffer material unhappiness is considered to be actually situated in happiness. The most wretched person is one addicted to sex pleasure, and a wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from such material bondage. A fool is one who gives up his eternal friendship with the Lord Krishna and instead identifies himself with his own temporary material body, mind, society, community, and family. The real path in life is not simply a modern interstate highway, or in some more simple cultures, a footpath free of thorns and mud. It is that path that leads to Lord Krishna. The wrong path in life is not simply a road having many thieves or toll booths. It is a path that leads one to utter confusion and material sense gratification. A heavenly situation is that in which the mode of goodness predominates, rather than that found on the planet of Indra, where passion and ignorance sometimes disturb the celestial atmosphere. Hell is anywhere that the mode of ignorance is predominant, and not merely the hellish planets, where according to Lord Shiva, a pure devotee can think of Krishna and remain happy. Our actual friend in life is the bona fide spiritual master who saves us from all dangers. Among all gurus, Lord Krishna is himself the Jagat Guru, or spiritual master of the entire universe. In material life, our own material body is our immediate home, rather than some structure of bricks, cement, stone, and wood. A rich man is one who possesses innumerable good qualities. He is not a neurotic fool with a large bank account. A poor man is one who is unsatisfied, which is self-explanatory. One who cannot control the senses is certainly wretched and miserable in life, whereas one who detaches himself from material life is actually a lord or controller. In modern times, there are remnants of aristocracy in Europe and other countries, but such so-called lords often display the habits of lower forms of life. A real lord is one who conquers material existence by rising to the spiritual platform. A person who is attached to material life will undoubtedly manifest the opposite of all the good qualities mentioned here, and he is thus the symbol of going backwards in life. The Lord concludes his analysis by stating that there is no need for further elaboration of these good and bad qualities. Indeed, the purpose of life is to transcend materially good and bad qualities and come to the liberated platform of pure Krishna consciousness. This point will be further explained in the following chapter. Thus ends the purport to the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Amagyamnati Mirandasya Janandana Salakaya Chakshunamitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namo Shri Prabhupada today. So here, all of these, I was reading through this, and I was thinking all of these descriptions are so different from the knowledge being taught in this society now. Modesty isn't even considered a good quality. We're expected to be running after pleasure. That's every billboard, every topic talked about. When you go in the grocery store or any shop, they're all modeling things that you have to be happy. This is real happiness. So actually, Krishna consciousness is totally the opposite. We're trying to extract ourselves from all of this. And it reminded me a bit, this material world is such an entanglement. It reminds me, one time I was on the bank of the Ganges, and I was walking towards the water, and suddenly my foot was being sucked under with the mud, and I was trying to get out, and I was pushing with the other foot, and then the other foot was getting entangled in the mud, and I'm there going, what am I going to do? I can't get out. And the more I struggled, the more deep I was going, and I was up to my waist, and I was thinking, how am I going to get out of this? How will I get out of this? And finally, some kind devotee came and helped pull me out of this mud. And I was thinking, it's the same, like here, saying the spiritual master is the one who can extract us from this suction of the material world and give us real understanding, real knowledge to see what things are in reality, instead of seeing what Maya really ultimately is putting for us to see and to become entangled and to forget Krishna. So here it says the real true friend is the spiritual master. And that's why. Who else can save us? I think I could have been in that mud forever, just sitting there. Well, not even sitting, just sucked in a standing position. And yet someone came and helped me, extract me from that. And the same, the spiritual master come and extracts us from this. And this is more entangling. Because, you know, when you try to get yourself out of this material world, everyone and everything, except for the devotees of the Lord and the scriptures and the spiritual master, tell you you're crazy. My parents thought I was nuts. They took me to see the priest. They took me to see a psychiatrist. Is she going crazy? She's wanting to do this thing and join this temple and give up everything. She stopped wanting to do Christmas. Before I left, I said, I'm not doing this. My parents were going, oh, she'll freak out if she doesn't get her Christmas. You know, and I just, no way, I'm not taking part in this anymore. So they think you're nuts. This is what everyone wants. This is what everyone wants. Eat meat, do this, go out to clubs, have parties, have fun. That's what life is meant for. And that is what everyone is telling us. Everyone. Except for the devotees, the spiritual master, and the scriptures. They're telling us, no, this is ignorance. This is what constitutes ignorance. Not knowledge. Okay, we think knowledge means that we're so adept with numbers that we have some calculus, we can do computers, and we have so much. But that's the fool. You know, he's thinking, I mean, some devotees are also, it could be used in Krishna's service, but these people with the PhD, Prabhupada said it's the plow department. You know, it doesn't mean intelligence, real intelligence. Because it's so entangling in this material world. And I was thinking that being in this material world sometimes can become so disheartening. You know, you're trying so hard to be a devotee, and yet sometimes you think, is this reality? Everyone's saying it's not, and you know, we're such a small group in such a huge place. You know, and sometimes the mind can give some trouble, some doubts. What am I doing? Am I crazy? You know, but that's where we take shelter in the spiritual master and topics about Krishna. I was thinking about class last night before I went to bed. And then when I woke up this morning, I immediately thought of Yudhisthira Maharaj leaving home. And I was thinking how he extricated himself from the kingdom was amazing. He just immediately, it's described that he just put himself in rags, just torn cloth. He let his hair loose, just, and it said in the Bhagavatam that he looked like an urchin, just like, and he left. He put his grandson in charge, Parikshit Maharaj, who was fully qualified because he'd been trained for that position. He put him in charge and he left. He didn't look back. And then all of his brothers did the same. They immediately dressed themselves in just raggedly clothes and left. Then his wife was there. They're not even taking care of me. They're not even caring. They've all just left without saying anything. So then she followed in their footsteps. So that is what we have to do in this mature world. I was thinking the other day, my mind was restless, and I was thinking, oh, I'm all alone because my husband keeps traveling a lot, and I'm thinking I'm in this house all by myself, and, you know, what am I going to do? Maybe I need to do, you know, and the mind can come up with so much trash. In fact, Prabhupada called it trash. I wanted to read this once. The mind is full of trash. So this trash comes up sometimes. Yeah. And then I was reading here and thinking, this is such trash, because that is what's meant. Just like Draupadi said, okay, you know, all this time, the whole war of Kurukshetra was fought because of her, really, for her honor, right? And yet now they're ignoring her and going away. It's like, what? You know, this whole kingdom that they fought for, and they've taken such care, Yudhisthira Maharaj, to make sure that it was a perfect kingdom. Now he's just walking away like it was just stool. You know, just basically, he's walking away. So that is life for a Vaishnava, for a devotee of the Lord. You know, we do so many things during our life, and then it becomes time to wrap it up, right? And then it's like vanaprast, you know, and that's when you're practicing, things are being taken away. You don't even have to do it yourself. It's quite amazing. Krishna just starts taking things away, and you're helpless to stop it. But the only thing that we have is Krishna and his holy name. And to think about the Lord, the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, the scriptures. And that gives solace to the heart. And I wanted to read this one sloka from the Pandavas Retired Timely. This is Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 29. Translation, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. This is when he comes, when he comes to Yudhisthira Maharaj and he's saying, you know, I was trying to protect the wives of Krishna, and then I couldn't, even I had Gandiva, and I fought so many huge wars, and then these cowherd men, and they've stolen. He's in such distress, right? And then he says, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. So this is the way to get rid of the trash in the mind. As soon as it comes up, take shelter of Krishna's pastimes, think about Krishna, do service. This is the elixir for the disturbed mind. Then Prabhupada says in the purport, material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. I know, really heavy statement, but so real, so true. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord and his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord becomes manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contamination. So what an amazing statement, and it's so true. As soon as the mind becomes disturbed, we have to remember Krishna. And then freedom takes place, real freedom. Like here it's saying, a poor man is not someone with no money. A poor man is someone with no intelligence, no knowledge of his reality, of his real position. And each one of us is wealthy. We have a situation where we're going to go back to. That's the eternal kingdom of God. And we have some responsibility there to take part in Krishna's pastimes, whatever it is. You know, what an amazing gift we've been given. Amazing that Srila Prabhupada came and gave this to us. And we have the holy name to chant, to take shelter of, chanting every day, practicing the holy name. And this saves us from death. And here it's saying how the real home is the body. You think, yeah, this is the home. But just like I know for myself, I've moved home so many times, I can't even count them. We've moved from country to country, state to state, all over the world. So similarly, leaving this house and entering another is no big deal. Right? It's no big deal. You know, and we have something really wonderful to look forward to if we can take shelter of Krishna. And it's not hard, really, by just chanting Krishna's names every day. Naturally, we're washed from all of the illusion that we have about ourselves. Because if you think, like I've been thinking about this a bit. One day I was talking to Mother Indrani, the Mataji that left her body some years ago. And she said, you know, Ruchira, I'm scared to die. I've been thinking about that. I'm actually scared to die. But I've been reading and reading, and I've been realizing that that fear is crazy because this isn't my real home. And what do I have to give up? Nothing was mine anyway. You know, and after I left her, I kept thinking about that. Yeah, death. I mean, right now, okay, we're giving up different things. We might have to give up our good health or, you know, things that we can do or, you know, things change. We might lose money or we might lose so many things. We might give up a beautiful house and move into a, you know, a room somewhere or a little trailer or something. You know, so many things are taken away. But what is that? You know, there's some attachment and then it's gone. But the body, which has been used all of this lifetime for so many, depending on when we leave, how many years we've used this for our enjoyment, to get out of problems, to, you know, it's been our best friend, basically. And we think it's us. And although we hear over and over again, you're not that body, you know, you're not that body, right? But we don't really get it. I mean, we kind of do. We can say we know. Oh, I already know that. I've heard that so many times. But do we really understand it? Do we really honestly know? And that's, I remember Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote a book, Die Before Dying. And that's the idea. You have to realize. But, you know, that comes automatically by this chanting of the holy names. You become washed. You know, the more you chant, the more cleansed you become. And hear how it says, then you start seeing reality for what it really is. You know, then the illusions are washed away. Just like, you know, because of all this rain and stuff, our driveway is like mud. You know, you're just sliding up the driveway. And the whole side of our car is mud. So it needs washed. And our heart is like that. We have been through so many bodies. So many bodies. You know, from a little ant, a microbe, right up to probably the heavenly planets at some point, back to Earth to become a human. So many, a cow, a dog, dog eater, you know, unlimited bodies. You know, and we've tried to enjoy in each of these bodies. We've tried to use the senses that are given to us to enjoy life. You know, but now we've got this human form, and it's time to wash, you know, start cleaning. And it sometimes feels like cleaning coal. Does anybody have experience of coal? It's like, it's black, hard stone. You can wash it, you can do anything, and it's still this black, hard stone that's giving black all over everything. So that's the state of the heart. After all the sojourn through so many different bodies and trying to enjoy. But finally we get this human form. And we get the spiritual master to lead us out of this. And we get the Srimad Bhagavatam like the torchlight to show us the reality from the illusion. So it behooves us to take advantage of this and clean our hearts. Just chant. And things are revealed. You know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham sarata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadadimi buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who worship me, I give the knowledge by which they can come to me with love. Forgot that bit. Worship me with love. So that is Krishna's statement to us. And we know that he always, when it's for others, he always sticks to what he says. So we can be assured that if we just chant, and I've seen in my life, and I'm sure all of you have experienced this, that Krishna does reveal things. And you go, wow, I never saw it like that before. I never realized it was like this. You know, and he just opens our eyes. It's like having cataracts. You know, I haven't had any yet, but I'm sure they're coming. But, you know, the eyesight is bad. You can't really see things. And then you go and get them removed, and then, wow, it's amazing. So it's just like that, that we're covered with, like, cataracts. And we're going along, our senses are pulling us here, pulling us there, trying to enjoy. You know, if we don't have enjoyment, we're frustrated, we're angry, we're feeling depressed. Because we don't see the real enjoyment in the nectar of the holy names of the Lord. It's like Rupa Goswami says, how we're covered like jaundice. We're infested with like a jaundice of ignorance. And the only way to get rid of this jaundice, like when someone has jaundice, it's a really awful disease. I had it one time and it was awful. And the only way was eating sugar candy, and the sugar candy tastes awful. It tastes gross. You'd never want to eat it if you were always in that condition. So Rupa Goswami describes that's just like us right now in this material world. We're trying to enjoy, and we're covered with ignorance, which is just like that jaundice. And the nectar of the holy name just doesn't taste nice. But he says, simply by just chanting carefully this holy name every day, then a natural taste will develop in the tongue, just like eating that sugar cane. Then naturally, at some point, it tastes nice. It tastes like a sweet nectar, yes. So just by chanting this holy name regularly and carefully, we can get that taste back for the holy name and for the spiritual world. And then everything is there. We'll have no worries, no more suffering. You know, we'll just go through life. Oh, suffering may appear to come, but you see Srila Prabhupada in his life, even as he was passing, He wasn't complaining, you know, oh, this hurts, that hurts. You know, oh, get this doctor, maybe I should go here. He just accepted, and he was in ecstasy. He was going back to Godhead. So I think all of us can take shelter like that, that is the example. Don't think it won't happen to us. We're thinking, oh no, we're still healthy. But it's happening. It's just like Dhritarashtra. Vidura had to come and say, what are you doing here? Your teeth are falling out. You can barely walk. You can't see. You can't hear. What are you doing? And here you are living just like a dog at your enemy's home. Get out of here. Take shelter. Go away. And that's the same. It's coming to us. I can barely hear. My eyesight's bad. Glasses all the time. You know, it's happening. The years are clicking over faster and faster. You know, I can barely walk. I can hardly sit. You know, it's happening to all of us. Right? So it's the loud call. Okay, get serious. It's coming. Death is on the way. And when we don't know when we're going to die. We might be young. We might be old. Might be today. It might be in an hour. We might walk out of here and collapse. Who knows? So it's time to take serious shelter of the holy name and Krishna, Krishna consciousness. You know, and hear and chant as much as we can. And then we'll have no worry. Krishna will take care of us, no problem. So I'll stop there. If anyone has any comments or corrections or additions.
Thank you for your faith sharing with me. Question. So you're talking about preparing for the inevitable death. What about when one is so frustrated they kind of wish death would come?
That's when you really have to take shelter. That's like Arjuna, when he came to Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was like, why am I living? Krishna's gone. Everyone's gone. My life isn't worth living. But that's when you need to take shelter of the devotees and of reading and hearing, keeping that going in the mind, you know, instead of all the other things. Because really, that frustration or anxiety is due to forgetfulness. We're forgetting reality. And we're thinking, I'm not enjoying, and things are becoming so miserable, and why should I even be here? It's getting so tough. It's so much suffering that I can't tolerate this anymore. Right?
Yeah.
And then they want to just finish it. But if that person can just somehow or other be enticed to just take part in some devotional service, some Krishna consciousness, whatever can help that person just to make a step in that direction, they can be saved from so much.
I'm that person.
Well, you're doing a lot of hearing and chanting.
I want to take shelter of sleep. Awful.
Give class.
No.
Yes. I tell you, that is a solution. We've gotten so much going in all these years, so much going in. And if we don't express it, then we just start shrinking up. We're not helping others with what we've gotten. You know, and we can go out and give out books and things, but we also have to give what knowledge and understanding and realizations we have also. Because I think it's important for others to hear and see and realize all of us struggle sometime or other. Arjuna struggles. All of us struggle. Even we know what's reality. We still get blinded by certain attachments, really, that are being ripped away, and we don't know how to deal with it. At least this is my situation. You know, and then we forget everything. We forget the reality of the situation. But just to give class, then you start looking, and Krishna starts giving you more, and then you have to give it to others. And it's perfection. It's actually the cementing your realizations by giving them and sharing them with others. It cements your realization. Because we can go through life not even thinking about what we're realizing. You know, we're just going, doing, you know, on a mechanical. But when we speak it to others, then it makes it like cement, like hard. It's there now. I understand it, and I'm sharing it with others. It gives you more understanding of it.
Thank you. Thank you for a very nice class. I just wanted to share, because, you know, we are talking about how, you know, we have so much to look forward to. I hope you don't mind, but I'd like to share my realization. I find that very, very encouraging. But I was just thinking how the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness to me is that we don't just look forward to that life in the future, you know, but that it's available at all times if we just take shelter sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's that period of anartha nivritti when we struggle. And of course, I'm still through it. But I just remember, you know, times that are most difficult for me when I went through, like, you know, the hardest tests. And I wasn't maybe necessarily very spiritually strong when they happened. And I just remember, you know, just really struggling, you know, with, you know, some bitterness and being really overwhelmed, you know, by so many challenges. But, you know, taking shelter of devotees at that time and their instructions and just pushing through, chanting, continuing as much as possible. Then when those clouds of anarthas disappear, then there is just more and more happiness in Krishna consciousness and more encouragement. And I just find it, it's such a, the path is just so full of meaning, even before you come to that joy, which comes when you're really, you know, free from an artist to some degree. But I just remember, even at those times when I was struggling, you know, that just taking shelter of Krishna sincerely and devotees and chanting, there's always the encouragement, there's always the meaning, there's always some kind of satisfaction. And I guess for me that's big, because I grew up in a communist country where I had no understanding of religion. So there was that, till I met with devotees at the age of 21, there was just that life of, you know, lack of meaning, which is the worst, and just not knowing what's the purpose. But the path of Krishna consciousness to me has been always just reciprocation from Krishna within the heart, and that encouragement that he gives us, even when it's tough, and then the guidance of devotees, the spiritual master. I find it's just so much happiness, and it's just it's always satisfying. It's always there.
Mm-hmm, that's
it's
true.
Not just in the future. So for me, that's what keeps me and what encourages me to keep going, because it's just amazing how, you know, how much Krishna takes care of us. That's for me, you know, because I didn't experience it so much in my family. Like, even when I fall off and I'm kind of a little slackening off, I'll have dreams, you know, of my Guru Maharaj encouraging me to take shelter of Krishna. If I'm depressed, you know, just these voices coming and like pushing you on, and it's just so personal.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just wanted to share.
Thank
that.
You for sharing that. It's true. It is a joyful process. Even Krishna says that.
Hare Krishna, yes, wonderful food for thought. And I was also thinking that, you know, when I used to hear giving up happiness and distress, I would think, oh, it sounds so boring. Right? I don't know if anybody else has ever thought that. You know, giving up that kind of ups and downs. Actually, it isn't. There's so much joy beyond that, because all that happiness and distress, the sukha and the dukkha, are in the mind. You know, they're just manufactured in our minds anyway. So nipping those thoughts in the bud, as, I mean, Krishna said it there so many times, giving up the mind tendency to see happiness and distress and the suffering go on that roller coaster. You know, understanding, we have to understand it though, that it's true and real, and in practice, giving them up and taking shelter and chanting or hearing whatever works for us, like you were saying. It may be individual, whether it's deity worship floats your boat, or whether hearing plugs you in solidly, or chanting. You know, there's so many different ways for us to connect. But doing more of that and allowing those other thoughts to just dissipate, it's not boring at all. It's very blissful, as you were saying. And we have that available all the time under all circumstances, eternally. You know, so what is the fear?
Yeah.
What do we have to be afraid of?
Hare Krishna. Shri Vikram.
We attended a funeral Tuesday. Our devotee son died, as you guys know. So I was given a little talk, really, and I asked the audience, who knows when he's going to die? And like, everybody went blank. You know? I mean, there's lots of carnage there. And you could see, like, that, like, they went blank, because death can come at any moment, you know? I mean, this child is dead here in front of us. And we were talking about it, but I said, our time can come any moment. You know, when I said that, really, you could see how they went blank, you know. And then I said, that's why you have to prepare, and you have to take shelter of the holy name and stuff.
Yeah. Actually, Chanakya Pandit said, if you're a spiritualist, if you're a materialist, you should think you should never die. So if you're in a room full of materialists, they're not even thinking of that. That's being hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
But for a spiritualist, they should think, I might die at any moment. Because then you become a serious candidate for going back to Gautama. Dhanraj, probably.
In your class, you mentioned Mother Indrani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just want to share my only exchange I had with her, and this was just like a few months before she left. But it kind of brings back a lot of memories as you were speaking. So I want to share. One day I got a call from her that she called me and asked for a larger apartment, that she wants a 3-bedroom apartment to rent. So we started talking. I asked her how many bedrooms she has now. So she has 2. And how many people living with you? She said, just she alone. So I said, why do you want 3 bedrooms? And her income is so limited. I was helping to analyze her finances and so forth. And she said, you know, we're women, we like our things, so we need more space. And I started talking her out a bit. But I said, you know, Mataji, you may die anytime, you know. I mean, I was kind of a bowling up, because she created such a motherly relationship with me over the phone that I felt, you know, like very free to talk to her. And I said, don't think of doing that. Stay where you are, you know, and that you're not this body. Because when she said that, you know, we are women, we like our things, I said, well, you know, you're not even this body. So she said, how can you explain that? I said, well, I can't, but, you know, our scripture said so. Then she said, one thing she said, you know, it's easy to say it, but to realize it, it's a little more difficult.
Yes.
And then she talked about her age being so elderly, and still all these desires are there. And anyway, it rolled on to a really nice, loving conversation. But finally, I convinced her to stay where she's at, the same lower rent, 2-bedroom, just be satisfied with that, and, you know, stay simple.
That's like here, it says, well, real wealth is satisfaction.
Yeah, so But anyway, you know, we're talking about that, it also brings me to a point that I always contemplate on about living in this large community. And we are here in the association of devotees. But it puts a question in my mind, are we taking the association of these devotees that we are among? Or are we giving our association to others? You know, it always puts a big question in my mind. Sometimes, and I don't mean to be negative with anyone, but I've heard comments from outside community that sometimes when they come to a Lachuo with all this a big community, they feel kind of impersonal, like sometimes the personal interaction isn't there. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, sometimes I felt that way myself. With all, we have so much devotees that like to interact and take that intimate association, that one-on-one association. I know that's what brought me to Krishna consciousness. It wasn't the mass, but it's a few devotees who give personal attention. Mm-hmm. And keep our lives, you know, like that. So it's just like, personally for me, it's like a call to take advantage of that situation in this, you know, like take close association with devotees on a one-on-one basis. We can understand them, and therefore we can learn more how to appreciate and love them, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. I found that when I first moved here. I was thinking, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. How could you possibly know everyone in this community? But I think that's where it's really nice, where there's different groups of devotees that have sangha together, and they develop closer relationships with a few. And then you have a lot of relationships that are just kind of hardball, you know, hardball, how are you doing? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always there, you know, that those things are always there. But, you know, the bottom line is, that, you know, we should all, at least for me, I want to make that effort to get to take association of, you know, other devotees and mm-hmm. learn more. And once we know, then we're able to appreciate. Actually, one devotee told me a story. This is kind of a little graphic. Something happened on a material side of things where some, you know, for this one devotee got really angry. And he went all the way to this other devotee's home that day and I'm going to beat him up. So he went and, you know, and he knocked on this devotee's door, and this other devotee came up and said, "Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu, how are you? Nice to see you, you know, please come in such a warm way." And he said immediately his heart completely changed when he saw the demeanor of this devotee. It's completely changed. And he was able to appreciate and love the devotee so much more just because he now gets a glimpse or gets like a more personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very instructive, I think, to put it that way.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
so unless we live with each other, then, you know, we don't know. Yeah, so we know devotees are great, God is great, but how are they great and love them?
Yes. So we need to share that with everyone that we meet and give and take. Yeah, it's nice. Thank you so much. Thank all of you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitya Gaur Premanandi, Hari Gaur.